Hey, welcome to another edition of Rockin' Retirement, busier than ever and on a mission, as we always are. Walter Storholt here alongside Janine Theus, and we're looking forward to a great conversation today. Janine, of course, is the CEO and the founder of Theus Wealth Advisors, and we've got a great show on the way today, Janine. We're going to talk about scams to kick things off in a couple of moments, something that you're writing a lot about, you're keeping in touch with your clients about, and something that you are concerned about. A lot of people in the financial world, though, I don't really hear addressing that conversation and that topic. So that's going to be fun to get into today. Yep. We're going to talk about retirement cash flow, and we've got some great viewer questions that we're going to hit on today's show too. So I can't wait to get to all of it. I hope you're doing well, Janine.
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, you know, between new grandkids or grandkids on the way and parents and, you know, I'm never stopping.
You are never stopping. Listen, folks, Janine is everywhere. You've got family in what? Oregon and Minnesota, I think, and Colorado now and Ohio.
One's in Bahrain, currently and about to be in Hawaii for the next 3 years. So trip.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, poor you having to travel to that one, right? I love it. Well, we know that you keep really busy outside the office as well as in the office and here on the podcast and on YouTube as well. So we'll look forward to getting your thoughts on all the topics today. So let's get to it. Welcome to Rockin' Retirement. All right, Janine, if you just read like regular news, you're probably going to see reports of scammers left and right in the financial world. And so it kind of got us thinking, I wanted the financial advisor opinion on this. I mean, how do you keep your clients safe from scammers? Do you provide tips or advice to them in that arena? And would love to hear some stories maybe about how people have maybe almost been victim of scams or did fall victims of scams. And then maybe, you know, how you're able to step in and help people from falling victim to those different things.
So scams is a topic close to my experience and heart, if you will, because my grandfather was scammed. Mm. And so it really is close to home how vulnerable the elderly are, especially, but anybody who's over 60 or maybe even over 50, depending on how tech savvy you are. And it's a target-rich environment with a very large baby boomer demographic. And the scams are getting more sophisticated. So scams come in many types. There are many types. And there are a lot of very sophisticated scammers. And they're very good. But technology is now, one of the things I wrote about recently with to clients is technology, AI, and artificial intelligence, now can capture a piece of your voice and then recreate your voice. So there are scams happening where somebody calls, it sounds like your grandson, they're telling, he's in jail and he needs you to wire money. So there are many stories that where people have been scammed out of money, a couple thousand dollars here, a couple thousand dollars there. And this is for people that don't often, you know, have that to just throw away. But once you send the money, it's gone. But that's actually becoming more common where the scammers are using AI. And AI technology to make it seem like it's one of your relatives that needs money. So you have to be very, very careful. So you need to set up a code system in your family so that if they don't answer the code right or whatever, or the person doesn't respond to the question correctly, we started coming up, my kids and I, with different kinds of codes. Depending on the situation.
Why am I not surprised with your military background? You would be really well prepared to handle that particular threat. Well, because hey, as a podcaster / YouTuber, there's lots of your voice out there, right? So there's lots for them to choose from to create something realistic, I bet.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to get fairly creative and then you have to remember the codes.
That's the hardest part. So, okay, it sounds like it's you. What's my code name? Orange, you know, flamingo. No, that's wrong.
Yeah. or it's some question. And, you know, in the Bond movies, they're always doing that. And you have to ask the question and it has to be the right answer. But getting clients to actually just start thinking about this, because most of us don't think like criminals. Mm-hmm. So we're not out trying to scam our own families or scam our friends. So when it happens to you, it really does take you back. And your initial response is to answer truthfully. And so you have to be a little more circumspect in how you answer questions. One, and this happened to my father, somebody called him, and then on his cell phone, and he's on his cell phone for quite some time. And then my mother calls me and says, "Your dad's been on the phone for 3 hours. And I don't know who he's talking to." Well, it was a guy who was really nice to my dad, walked him right through putting his credit card numbers on this little folder on his laptop.
Oh, man.
So immediately all of us went to general quarters and we're like, change all your account numbers, notify your bank, notify your credit union, notify this. And then after we squared that all away, I was like, "Dad, if you don't know the caller, do not answer the phone." Because they'd call the house phone. So from now on, the rule is, "Dad, you're not allowed to answer your phone."
It's just tough.
It is. It really is.
Technology is a big part of that, right? And the scams are just getting more sophisticated as technology develops and evolves. And I don't fault your parents. I don't fault folks that are in that world, because you're just not interacting with the technology as much as perhaps a younger generation that can then spot those scams and spot those oddities. And they're getting more sophisticated and evolving at rapid rate than the older generation can. And it's despicable, the people that take advantage of the elderly or of the older generations, but unfortunately it can be really hard to stop them.
And so there's that, the tech side, and then the scammer side, but there are also the scammers that it's not just bad advice, poor advice. It's people who are out to take your money in some scam way, like a Ponzi scheme or like a false investment. Bank of America just got tagged for $250 million of fine because they were setting up false accounts and excess fees. So there's those types of scams. And then there are also scams where you are convinced to buy a product. And maybe it's not technically a scam, but it's really bad advice if you're convinced to buy a product based on somebody scaring you. Or somebody saying, "Oh my gosh, it's going to be Armageddon down the road, and you're going to have to, you need this to do X." So you do have to have a pretty good filter. You have to start developing a filter for the things that you hear, because there's so much out there.
Yeah.
And I talk to
scams really a sliding scale, it sounds like. You've kind of got true scams, Nigerian prince, the deposed, send him $1 million because he needs to give you $10 million kind of scam, all the way to just pressure and tactics and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
And so this is something you're educating your clients on when they're in the office with you, and you're kind of talking to them about what to be aware of, or they're consulting you if they run into something that's a bit odd or sketchy.
Yeah. What's really interesting is I'm very quick to respond if I get some emails from clients or a call that says, "I don't understand this." I respond pretty quickly to, "Okay, this is us. This is how this works. Or this is not us. Just ignore this." Recently on my cell phone, I got a notice and it said, "You have 2 minutes to respond to this." And I kept looking at it. And then I looked at my husband. I go, "Is this a phishing attempt?"
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen it before. It was definitely a phishing attempt. So I shut my phone off. Then when I brought it back up, it was gone. So, things like that, when I experience them or when people tell me stories, I relay those to the clients because it's out there and you need to be aware.
So. That's a great point. I got one recently that said it was like my Fidelity account or something like that had been hacked and I needed to change my password quickly. And it looked like a two-factor authentication, looked very realistic, everything about it. And my email was compromised. And it was a text from what looked like Fidelity, which I was like, whoa. And so I went and I logged into Fidelity, not from my phone, but from a desktop computer. And I log in and there's no warning lights happening inside of Fidelity. So there's no email saying, "Oh, you've been compromised, change your login," or anything like that. Yeah. So it was just all an attempt to get me to panic, do it quickly on my phone.
That's right.
But obviously the link that they would have sent me would have been, compromised.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I mean, it is a little scary because you get this notice that something's wrong with your account, and you're like, "Well, wait a minute," or somebody hacked into your account. I've gotten a few from the USPS. I'm like, the USPS does not text me.
Right. Right. And if my tax dollars are paying for them to have the ability to do mass texting, right? Let's change that.
So I think
another can of worms. We won't go there.
Yeah. So, but people do need to be aware. that there are forces out there that are interested in compromising.
I'm going to link in the description, Janine, a video that everybody needs to check out. If you're watching today's episode, go check it out. Have you ever seen the comedian James Veitch and his what he does to scammers?
Oh, I don't think so. I haven't seen his videos. I think I've heard about him, though.
He did a whole TED Talk, actually, on this, where he just said, what happened? I just got this feeling one day. What would happen if I actually responded to one of these scammers? And how long could I keep the charade going? What if I flip it around to them? Kind of like you've heard people who will get a telemarketer on the phone and just never hang up and occupy their time for as long as possible. Kind of like that. So it's his emails going back and forth with these scammers. He takes it so far to where they finally are begging him to stop emailing them. So it's a brilliant piece of comedy. I'll link to it in the description of the show today. So people can check it out and you got to see it, Janine. You'll very much appreciate it. It's awesome. So, well, very good. If you have questions about being scammed, if you're facing something odd like that and you've got concerns, don't hesitate. Reach out to Janine. She can help you evaluate what you're looking at, what you're dealing with. It's part of the planning process, part of the ongoing education that she provides clients. But if it's kind of the thing that's on the top of your mind, could be the beginning of a good conversation. So reach out if you've got questions. 443-718-6311 is the number. And you can also go to TheusWealthAdvisors.com. We'll link to that in the description of today's show. So check it out. Well, it's time to get to know Janine a little bit better. This is where we ask non-financial questions just to get to know her personality some more. So, Janine, I'm curious, what is a seemingly random subject that you're like an expert at, or at least that you know a lot about?
Well, since I ran track and cross country in college, you know, I was a competitive athlete for a long time. So I was always interested. My major was pre-med. So I was always interested in exercise physiology, anatomy, things like that, studies, kinesiology. So my avocation for a while was as a trainer, because I was training myself and then people were asking me to help them train. And so it's just rather amusing because I've been through a lot of different, you know, I've had some surgeries. You go in and you talk to the doctor and you're asking all these questions and they just look at you and say, are you in the medical field? And I'm like, no, I know enough to be dangerous, but
there you go.
But I know how to rehab and I know how to be fit. So, you know, it's just one of those, it's just fun to do that. So I've helped a lot of people train. These days I'm just happy. And I tell my clients this, you just need to keep moving. So whatever it is that makes you happy, walking and swimming, whatever it is, you got to keep doing it until you drop, because otherwise you're going to have a lot of health issues because the body was meant to move. So it's just funny when people ask me that I start giving them, okay, do this. Here's this. Here's this. Here's why.
Yeah.
And
do you get into like tracking macros and stuff like that on the nutrition side, or do you get really into like heavy weights versus light weights and just working every little muscle? Or,
well, you know, it's really interesting because when you do look at the just big pharma and the drug side of what's happened in our country, I mean, there are studies after studies after studies that show the most effective way to deal with adult onset diabetes, so type 2 diabetes, is exercise and diet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want that answer.
Right.
So pharma makes a lot of money. But that's actually, there are many studies that prove that. It's just, that's not the answer that a lot of people get. So yeah, macros, it's, you know, I try to keep it simple. I mean, there's so many programs out there.
Oh yeah.
Probably one of the most successful I've heard used is Weight Watchers, because it's just learning to eat properly. You know, people get on all kinds of jags with diets. And I'm like, you just need to eat enough protein, fat. There's nothing wrong with fats, the right kind of fats. You know, you need to eat properly.
Yeah, take in less than you put out. So
Right. So if you're not moving, then you're not, you know, you have metabolic rate. But if you're not moving, then your metabolic rate's going to be probably slower.
Right. Yeah.
So
the two things are very closely related.
So. Yeah. So I try not to get people too spizzed up on things because there's enough of that out there. It's just being more self-aware of what you need to do. And it, and honestly, it, you don't have to be perfect. It's just keep moving so that, you know, physically, psychologically, emotionally. I mean, I used to joke all the time when I was running a lot that I would, I was running because then I could eat Rice Krispie treats.
That's right.
And then, you know, kids come along and I'm like, I'm working out so I'm not homicidal.
Your motivation's changed.
Yes.
A guy next to me in the gym the other day had on a I work out for donuts shirt on. So.
It's a trade-off.
You'd appreciate that. Yeah, exactly. Trade-off. The gym Connie and I go to has a Rita's, like a Rita's ice cream and shave ice place right next door. So every time, especially in the summer, we get out of the gym, we look, and we, you have to walk right by it to get back to the car. And you're like, oh my, this is just cruel.
It's torture.
This is torture. It may be good for the gym to have those kinds of places next door. I don't know if the marketing works one way, but then people coming out of the gym are like, no, 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 I can't do it. So the marketing doesn't work the other direction.
Exactly. But, you know, stuff. I mean, and as you get older, I mean, everybody that's over 60 knows this, or women over, you know, after menopause, it's just, it's brutal to try to lose the weight. So you really do need to kind of keep it in mind. You know, that you got to keep moving. That's what we were made to do.
If you haven't hit that target age yet, get going now because it's only going to get harder.
And weightlifting is the best thing. I mean, I've always been an endurance athlete, but weightlifting is really equally important because muscles are your engine, you know, for calories.
Don't ignore them, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, cool. So we can get financial advice and then go see Janine and she'll also pump you up and It's a two for one deal, right?
So, yeah.
But that's the important, you know, that's kind of cool as an element to your financial planning to also be able to cover that softer side with people and help them also recognize some of the other things that are going to help them lead a fruitful retirement life. It's not just the numbers, but these other things too are important. And so that extra little specialty you have is kind of a secret sauce to your planning, I bet.
And what people, what I tell people this all the time is health is wealth. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you can't get out of your chair or if you can't go do some of the things you want to do because you have this ailment or that ailment or this whatever, what's the purpose for the money?
Yeah.
So it's not like you can look at it. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be very exciting. But, you know, it really is, you know, the emotional health, physical health is just as every bit as much a part of overall wealth.
Yep. Great points. Well, thank you, Janine. Appreciate it. And that's getting to know Janine Theus a little bit better. Thanks for joining us. Well, thanks for being with us again on Rockin' Retirement. And today's main topic is going to be about mastering retirement cash flow. We really want to understand the income side of the equation on today's show. So what we're going to do is really look at why it's crucial to analyze your income. We're going to look at kind of uncovering some of the, the misconceptions, maybe the secrets, if you want to call it that way, of guaranteed income, how that differs from maybe uncertain income, and hopefully shed the little bit of light on what it means to plan with a secure income plan in place and a secure understanding of that income, and then where all the pitfalls lie if you don't have a clear picture of all of this going into retirement. So, Janine, to help us dive into this topic a little bit, why is this such an important topic when it comes to financial stability? What happens if we don't have that clear picture of our retirement income when we get into retirement?
Well, most people have difficulty understanding how they're going to take an income because they're so used to being in accumulation mode. So you're climbing the mountain. And you've had a steady paycheck or paychecks for 40 years, 45 years. So how do you take what you've saved and translate that into income? That's usually the biggest challenge for people because depending on how you've allocated your resources, what do you take and when? How much can you take without worry of running out? What happens if you have a year like we did in 22, where the market tanked pretty severely? And if you're not allocated properly, you went with the market. So you've depleted from that top number. And now I've got to try to create an income out of that. So a lot of folks have trouble putting it all together. Now, engineers are great because they've always got spreadsheets. And so it's then a matter of showing folks, okay, let's look at where all your incomes is. And then the biggest challenge is getting people to sit down and go, okay, what's it cost to live? Mm. And what are the changes, or what do I want to accomplish as I'm retiring, or if I'm in retirement, or if I'm going to move to another state, because now your state income tax could be different, or the other types of taxes in that state, how does that affect your cash flow? And most people have problems putting that all together. So one of the things we do is, okay, let's make a list of all your assets. How are they allocated? Where are they located? So we go through all your different qualified plans, 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, Roths, et cetera. Do you have any annuities? If you do, where is it? What do you have you saved outside of those plans? What's your house worth? What's your Social Security? Do you have a pension? A lot of people don't have pensions these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're basically taking into account all these different buckets, if you will, and then categorizing them by what type of bucket are they? Are they, you know, tax-free or tax late, deferred tax or tax now, or, you know, how does this all work? And then depending on what you're trying to replace, are you trying to replace the income you have or had? Can you do that, you know, with what you've saved? Can you do that? Because I've had instances or conversations where people make this much, you know, way out here.
Sure.
They save this much and they think they're going to get this much in retirement.
Do you really try to get people to focus on like one source of income, one or two, and just really lean heavily into those? Or is this one of those cases where you don't want all those eggs in one basket, so you want a nice diversity of income coming from all over the place? Or does it even matter?
Well, I think sometimes it does matter because a lot of times people become very risky. You know, they become risk averse going into retirement because, and I tell a lot of people that if you're 60, and let's just use that as because it's a nice round number. If you're 60 and you're healthy and you're married, the statistics show that there's a 50% likelihood one of you is living to 92. You know, if you're happily married, there's a statistical probability both of you are going to live into your 80s, late 80s. So you're talking potentially 30 years. If not longer. So how do you make the money last? So where is it? What is your guaranteed base of income? Well, for most people, that's Social Security. So what does Social Security look like? When should you take it? What makes sense? What happens if one of you passes early? What happens if a divorce happens? Because I've had that happen with clients where divorced at 30 years, one is divorced at 40 years, which was a shocker.
Yeah.
You know, that changes the entire plan altogether, almost as much as if somebody had passed away. Almost. But it really does change how you're going to think about your assets going forward. So again, trying to figure out what your base spending rate is and what are the things that you're spending on, what do you need to have for that? And then how do you use the assets for discretionary? Like a lot of people want to travel. You know, do I have enough money to do that? Most people do have that, depending on the type of trip and where you're going. You know, most people are not going to spend $14,000 on a vacation. They might spend five. Mm-hmm. So it's having those kinds of conversations. What, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? And then part of that is, do I spend it all because you've earned it all? Do I spend it all on me and us?
Yeah.
Or do I make sure I leave some for legacy? So you're kind of playing with that cash flow of, okay, now grandkids come along and I want to save money for my grandkids, or I want to do this for my grandkids. What should that look like?
I can see how if you go into retirement without a clear plan, you just end up chasing your tail, right? Okay, we're going to give this much to the kids. Oh, grandkids came along. We need a little bit more to go travel to see them a little bit more often, or to get them gifts, or you know what? We'd want to help them with college a little bit. So then you start shifting your priorities, changing money over, and you can kind of just see how if you don't have a great plan in place, you're going to be all over the place.
Well, and it's really difficult if you be, you know, well, I shouldn't say it's difficult. It can be a little more challenging if you're reactionary. Or if you have one child is thriving, the other one not so much, or, you know, depending on how many kids you have, somebody's going to need help at some point in time. So how do you do that without alienating the other kids? Or how do you do that, you know, equal is not fair and fair is not equal. I tell people right. that all the time, because people are at different stages at different times. So, you know, how do you work that into cash flow? It's figuring out where's my base need, and then what can I spend in addition to that without having to worry about depleting the portfolio or running out of money before that you run out of life. That's a very important consideration, and actually it's probably one of the biggest fears for retirees, especially for those over 70.
I hear a lot about guaranteed income from other advisors, and then I hear other financial advisors never mention guaranteed income. So obviously there's two categories there, guaranteed versus non-guaranteed income sources. So how do you balance it with your clients? Is there a proper way to have a little bit of both, or where does the focus typically go?
Well, you know, it comes down, well, guaranteed, generally people would consider a pension or Social Security to be guaranteed. Now, depending on what the government does with Social Security, I think it's going to be there. For many people, pensions can be an issue if the company becomes insolvent, if it's a company pension, or if even the state. I mean, several states may have difficulty in the future paying out some of these pensions, so that could be a problem. But in general, a pension or Social Security income is going to be guaranteed. If you wanted to take some of your assets and make them guaranteed, well, that would be an annuity, because Social Security is an annuity. So is a pension. It's just a consistent stream of income over a length of time. So if you do that, then the question is, what type of annuity should you have? Because the type of annuity will depend on the goal. And I think too often people are sold a product without really understanding how it should be used in their plan. So yes, you can create guarantees of income. The other thing is, you know, are you going to use part of your assets? Are you going to self-insure, if you will, for some kind of care down the road, like long-term care? What does that look like? That's a whole conversation in itself. So do you carve out some of your assets to guarantee that money's going to be there? And so it all comes down to, you know, what do you have? What are you using it for? What's it for down the, you know, what's the purpose for the money long term? And then can I create a base, and then I don't have to worry about paying what I need to pay, you know, for all my fixed expenses. And then everything else would be discretionary, which non-guaranteed is going to be market-based.
Okay. So, is that how you typically match things up? You would, if you're creating some guaranteed income, that's really what you're then allocating to take care of those must-haves, or we need to treat this like the paycheck, get the bills paid, and we're going to use the guaranteed money for that. And then the visiting the grandkids, the going on trips each year, all those kinds of items, that's a little bit more where it might be coming from non-guaranteed sources. It doesn't have to be exactly that way, it sounds like, but that's kind of mentally how often it gets pitched or understood.
It is. And then, you know, the allocation of the portfolios, the money that you've saved or have invested, that needs to be done correctly. So it'll be there, because you've got to mitigate. There are ways to mitigate risks with investment portfolios so that you're not going to be taking more risk than you really can stomach. And so that's a conversation also in itself, because you have to understand what some of the science is. No, you don't have to go into super detail and read pages of boring information. There actually is pretty commonly used now research and science to build portfolios. It's making sure that you've got the proper amount of diversification and the allocation between stocks, bonds, and whatever else, assets, so that you're not going to run out of money. That is the biggest fear, is people running out of money.
So everybody wants to maximize their opportunities, right? So are the strategies for maximizing guaranteed income different from maximizing non-guaranteed income?
They can be. If somebody's much more risk averse and doesn't want a lot of money in the market, there's a trade-off. There's always a trade-off. If you want guarantees, you're going to get less interest or less return, because it's very difficult to have both. Now there are some annuities out there now, MIGAs, they're not in the market, they're pegged to the market, and you will get growth with no downside. And some of them come without surrender charges and a few other things. So I'm liking those as alternatives, as a partial alternative to market base. You know, they work for people, depending on the age and what you're trying to do. And then if you're taking income. But a lot of people forget, you know, with qualified money, IRAs, et cetera, you know, that you're going to have RMDs, and the RMDs have been moved back. If you haven't taken your required minimum distributions, that deadline has been moved back. So it's 73 for this year. It's 75 going forward. So there's a lot more wiggle room.
Yeah. I think it was 70 and a half when you started your first podcast a couple of years ago. So it just keeps increasing at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the SECURE Act putting that in motion, which is really interesting because at the same time, Congress is squeezing any beneficiaries to this money because if it's qualified money, which is where most of the money is in IRAs and 401ks, et cetera. So they're saying, okay, you don't need to take it till later. But then if your beneficiaries inherit this money and they're non-spousal beneficiaries, there's a squeeze in terms of how quickly they have to take that money out, which means more taxes.
Yep. Taxes always part of the equation, always part of the conversation for sure. Yeah. And that would be another part of the cash flow conversation, but we'll limit it today to just analyzing this income side of things. And that's a great breakdown, Janine. Appreciate you walking us through all of that. Anything else we should know just about that income equation as we get ready for retirement? Any final thoughts on that part of the program?
Well, I think people do need to, I mean, like you just mentioned, you do need to keep in mind the tax picture. The overall tax picture, because some people will say, oh, I don't want to pay any taxes. I go, well, guess what? Nobody gets out of paying taxes.
That's right.
It's pay me now, pay me later. You know, we can minimize taxes through asset location, but, you know, that's important. But a lot of people, I actually had somebody who was complaining about taxes, and I don't get these very often, but I looked at her and I said, you don't really have a tax problem. And then I go through the tax, you know, brackets and codes and like, you don't really have a tax problem because of the way you've set things up. So, but yeah, it's really important that people kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah.
in addition to all the other things, which is why you need somebody that's will sit down and help you understand what's really going on.
Well, if you've never walked through your income and done a true analysis on it and looked at your retirement cash flow problem and solved those math equations, making sure all of this is addressed, pick up the phone, give Janine a call, and you can walk through that together. 443-718-6311 is the direct line to Janine, or you can go to theuswealthadvisors.com. We'll put the contact information in the description of today's show, so be sure to check that out. Time to open up the mailbag on Rockin' Retirement and get some viewer questions. The first one comes to us, Janine, from Rachel. Rachel says, our daughter and her boyfriend are thinking about buying a house together. Should we help them out with a down payment? That seems like it would be more helpful to them than just getting money from us in 20 years when we die.
So, whoa, time out.
A couple of timeouts there, right?
A couple of timeouts, yeah, because there's a whole lot more to this story, I'm sure, that I would want to know about before I just say, hey, just give them the money for the down payment. Who's going to own the house? Mm-hmm. They're not married. Yes, some states are common law. So, you know, if they stay together 10 years and then split, they're going to have to split the proceeds to the house. But you could be walking into a hornet's nest in that regard. What's the commitment for the couple?
Yeah.
Is there a plan? And I know a lot of people don't like, you shouldn't go there as an advisor, but I do go there because typically, or just as often, I should say, these things don't work out. And then you've got a situation where somebody owns a house or you own a house with somebody that you've split the relationship. So that can be really ugly. So should you give them the money? You could probably gift your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then have this conversation with her about how she wants to spend this money.
Yeah. It jumps out to me too. She's saying, or just have them get the money from us in 20 years when we die. So that makes me think, Rachel, is probably already retired. If she, unless she's just anticipating herself to have a very short lifespan. I mean, Rachel may be in her 60s, 70s, perhaps. And so this sounds like an adult relationship too, perhaps, right?
Well, most, I've seen it both ways, believe it or not. Typically in this situation, you've got a lot of younger people where this is the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who's older, I actually had a client that did buy a house for his daughter. But it was for his, he put it in her name. I mean, it's in his name.
Yeah.
So she will pay rent. So that's not a bad idea either, because then you own the property. Mm-hmm. Then if something happens to the relationship, you have a property you can sell. So, you know, there are more factors I'd like to know about in terms of, it's not like I need to know the intimate details of the relationship.
Right. But a little more information to give the guidance needed here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, you know, everybody wants to help their kids generally. And I've seen it the other way as well, is like, hey, you graduated, you're out of here. Go figure it out.
Right. Yeah. Don't come back. except to visit, but don't come back to live here.
My folks
sent that message loud and clear. I came back home after going to college on the first break for school, you know, fall break or something like that. Uh-huh. Came back to visit mom and dad, and my bedroom had been completely ripped apart and turned into, you know, an art / storage / guest room, but had all of my personalization. They were like, yeah, this isn't your room anymore. Like, you're not coming back to live here.
That was a message loud and clear.
It was. It was like, all right, yeah, I'm staying in the guest room, not my room. So.
Yeah. Well, like many,
and we say this with all love, but you're onward. Thank you.
Yeah. Which is honestly, it's not a bad thing. I mean, when my brother, I mean, in my generation, when you launched, you launched, and we never looked back because we knew. Like my husband and I, our parents couldn't help us. They weren't in a position to help us. You had to go make your way. But I think today it's a little bit of a different situation. I think it's more difficult for millennials, Gen Z, whatever, to get started because the housing market's higher. The interest rates have skyrocketed recently. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of things that will play into that. I'm just very hesitant to say to somebody, just give the money, unless there's some quid pro quo caveats, you know, not quid pro quo caveats, because you just want to make sure that the decision turns out to be a good one.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's great, Janine. And also it does uncover a little bit of a trend, I would say, where people, like, let's take the whole, you know, kind of, I don't know, moral element out of it. I don't, not necessarily even moral, just take the whole, like, wanting to pay for a daughter, boyfriend, the emotional side of that out of it. Just the last part of the question. Hey, we'd like to put this money to good use now instead of when we pass away. A lot of people are just viewing it that way. And it's like, they're going to get the money at X point in time anyway. Why not go ahead and let me see them get to enjoy it in some way, shape, or form?
And I think that's fine. I think that's great. I think that it's really important that there is some respect in that decision and that it's not an expectation. Because I've seen both sides of that, where, you know, parents want to help. They're happy to help. The kids are grateful. Then I've also seen where the kids kind of have an expectation that the parents are going to help. So it's a little more complicated than a lot of people just say, well, just help the kid. Sometimes struggle is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can give the boosts here and there. But yeah, you're right. Obviously, when people need the help, it would be nice to be able to get the help.
Yep. It's all about that perspective and that lens. I think that's wise.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Rachel, and thanks, Janine, for the guidance. Good one. All right, opening up the mailbag here on Rockin' Retirement to a question from Clark. And Clark says, our home is no longer ideal for us. It's too big and too much to keep up with now that our kids are grown and gone. We'd like to move, but we'll only be working for another 4 to 5 years and then retiring to another state. Would it be a bad idea to move twice in such a short period of time? It seems expensive to do that, and I don't want to mess up our retirement plans.
So that's a great question because a lot of people are now going through this. So the question really is, if you're where you are currently living, let's say it's Maryland, and you want to move to Florida, because I've had some clients do that. You know, are you talking about moving out of the current house and doing a temporary move and then moving to your, you know, whatever place you're going to move to? I actually had a client do that. So there are reasons for both, to do both. It depends on, one, how old you are, how fit you are, how can you handle two moves? You know, yes, you might be 4 or 5 years from retirement. I don't see real estate necessarily going down. Are you going to move from your current house that's too big to a condo that's kind of an interim? Maybe you move and you rent. And then maybe you get, you know, find your retirement home in the process, because that's going to give you some time. What I caution folks to not do is to change their residencies before they sell their primary home. Because if you'll miss that tax, the tax benefit of owning the primary home, if you're married filing jointly, that's a $500,000 tax benefit. You don't have to claim any capital gains. But if you move out of this house and you move down here and that and make this, let's say you move to Florida and make that your residence and then you sell your Maryland home after the fact, that's going to be seen as a second home.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You could have capital gains on that, because chances are if you've been living in this primary home for quite some time, you have a low mortgage.
You might hit
mortgage.
That limit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've got a lot of equity in the home. So timing is important. I've had clients, basically, I have somebody doing this now. They wanted to move to a 55-plus neighborhood, which is not too far from where they're currently living. And so it's the same state, so it's not a problem. But they found what they wanted, so they're making that move. Now it's the same state, so there's no problem there. But I'm like, you know, go ahead and purchase this. And then there's a whole methodology to doing that, so that you're not taking money out of investments necessarily, depending on, you know, your current situation with your current home. And then once they get into the new place, then they'll sell the old place.
Nice.
So there's a timing that really needs to occur to make it easier for you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, my parents sort of did a little bit of this. They, a year ago, sold their home, and then they've been renting since then while looking for their home in retirement, which is in another state. So they've been now doing the house search from afar while renting and finishing their last year of work. And then this early fall, last days of work will wrap up. Hopefully they'll have found a new home and they'll make the move at that time. So they're kind of hitting that crunch time now of looking for homes, starting to put offers in. Still got a little bit of time, but they're starting to zero in on what they're looking for. But now they have all this flexibility. They could go ahead and get something today, even though they won't retire for another couple of months, and go ahead and get the process wrapped up so it's ready to go. But they've got the flexibility to kind of pick and choose and wait. And they don't have the stress of also trying to sell their current home at the exact same time. So they've known their budget. They know exactly, you know, what they've been looking at and evaluating for months. So they know the right one when it comes along.
Yeah. I mean, that makes it a lot easier for folks that have lived in their homes for a long, long time that have a lot of equity. Part of the issue, too, is the market. How fast is the market? If you put your house on up for sale and it sells that day, you've got 6 weeks to move 30 some years.
Right, right.
And you got to find a new place. So, you know, there's that timing of what else is, you know, where else are you going and have you found it yet?
Great question. And it brings to light just lots of additional questions, unfortunately. But hopefully that gives you some things to think about. Come in, meet with Janine, talk a little bit more in depth about your particular situation and get advice on the housing component of retirement planning. It's certainly a really, really big part of the puzzle. I got a question here from Harvey as we open up the mailbag on Rockin' Retirement. Harvey says, part of me really wants to retire, Janine, but I've gotten pretty used to having a paycheck for the past 40 years. That's understandable, Harvey. I can't imagine not having one, even though I have savings. How do people ever get comfortable with the idea of not having money coming into their checking account every month?
So that can be really difficult if you don't have a handle on what you've saved, how much you've saved, and what that translates to in terms of income. that's the hardest thing for people. One, it's hard to let go of being, you know, of working full time and being identifying with whatever it was you were doing. But once you can see the numbers as they would as your savings would translate to those numbers for income, then most people go, okay, now I understand, that'll work. The question is always, what income do you think you're going to need? Because do you need your full income that you're currently getting as you're working, or will you need less? And so it's walking, I typically will walk people through this conversation, because when they decide, okay, we don't need this much, we can live on this much. And then, okay, how do we produce that from what you've saved? In addition to Social Security or a pension or whatever else you have going on. It takes people a while to get comfortable when they make that transition from working full time. So depending on how old you are, you might want to think about working part-time. It's something fun. Yeah.
Go through that transition can help with the emotional component, even if the financial side of it's not as important. Just, hey, emotionally, I'm having trouble walking away. All right, well, let's do a transition into part-time. And then once you're comfortable with that, the leap to fully retired won't be as big.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a number of people that one guy sold his business, and he said it was great. And then 2 months later, I was bored stiff. And you hear that a lot, because people like to be active. So if that's not you and you want to go retire, I mean, Rockin' Retirement is, you know, a lot of people find a lot to do in retirement. You know, what's your passion? What hobbies do you have? Do you like to play golf? I mean, you can only play so much golf. Right. Honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's like you've said, it's not just necessarily what you're retiring from, but what you're retiring to.
Exactly.
And you got to figure that part out.
Yeah. So if you are busy and you're on a mission, then you will be less worried about this. And, you know, most people are spending a lot of time with their grandkids, which they love. So depending on, you know, the age of the grandkids and how many activities you're taking them to, or, you know, you're spotting your kids, that's just going to take up some time and emotion. But the income itself, you need to sit down and kind of figure out, okay, this is what I make. This is what I want in retirement. How much of my income currently can I replace with what I've saved?
Yep. Just turn it into a math question, Harvey, and get answers to it. And you'll be in a lot better shape and a lot more comfortable with pulling that retirement trigger. So thank you for that question as well. All right. Now we'll do our little finisher here in 3, 2, 1. Well, great questions from the listeners today. We broke down retirement cash flow. We talked about scams, how to avoid them. Great episode, Janine. Thanks for diving into a lot of depth on all of these big issues. And we'll look forward to chatting with you and catching up with you again next month.
Thanks so much, Walter. It was great, as always.
We appreciate it. Again, if you have questions for Janine, maybe it's a question on your mind. Doesn't have to be about cash flow. Doesn't have to be about pensions or annuities or 401ks. Maybe it's about, hey, what do I do with this house in retirement? Like Clark had that question. Whatever's on your mind when it comes to a financial planning and retirement standpoint, reach out to Janine with your questions. You can call her at 443-718-6311 or go to TheusWealthAdvisors.com and contact Janine through the website. We're going to put contact info in the description of today's show, so you can also find it easily and get in touch with Janine if you have any questions at all. Don't forget, retirement is busier than ever. You better be on a mission. That's the tagline of our show for a reason. Thanks for joining us. For Janine, I'm Walter. We'll see you next time on Rockin' Retirement.